Thank you so much, David. I'm really happy to be here today. Nice to see you all, that you came. My wife and I moved out here in June 2020 from Toronto, and we're glad we did. We like living out here in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. The people are friendly, and we are enjoying getting to know many of you. We came out here to be closer to my daughter Laura and our three grandchildren, Audra, Jordan, and Barrett, and then they moved to Michigan. But my wife and I still have, we have two disabled kids that are in a home here, being cared for 24 hours a day, Sunbeam Lodge. So being out here is good, we're closer to them. And we're also closer to some of our nine other children. We've got nine children, and a couple of them are living out here. First off, I want to say I'll be using the NLT, the New Living Translation, for most of my scripture quotes. I find the NLT easier to understand than other versions. It's more conversational. And also, there's a fill-in sheet that you may have received on your way in, and I hope you take advantage of that. I want to talk to you today about getting through tough times. And we're just not talking about, you know, minor inconveniences. Like that song we sang, there was a line or two that went something like this. Within the stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Sometimes life can be stormy. Like those videos I've seen on YouTube of tsunamis. Sometimes life hits us with a very big wave, and it's windy. And maybe the sail rips, and the water's coming over the deck. But the song goes on to say, my anchor holds. I'm secure, I'm safe. Why? Because I trust in God, and I trust in what His Word says. His word is like an anchor for us. When you're going through a tough time, read the Bible and find something that will hold you firmly in place. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God doesn't leave us confused, and He doesn't leave us alone. God gives us direction on how to live our lives and how to respond to different situations. His guidance is clear, concise, and easy to follow. The Bible says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And that's good to know. Whether we're living in good times or whether we're living in tough times, God is with us, and His promises are with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And here is your first fill-in. When we go through life, we would be wise to accept that there are going to be tough times. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. There are several things we can learn from this scripture. One is that we are to work and to continue working to earn a living, to pay our bills, and also to look after one another. If somebody needs a ride, give them one. In other words, we are to help each other during these difficult times. Another important thing is that we are to make sure that no root of bitterness grows up within our hearts. It's easy for us to get bitter when something doesn't go our way. Like if we're let go from our job, or if our rent goes up. we shouldn't allow a root of bitterness to grow up in our hearts. If something unexpected and bad happens, and it's difficult and challenging, we shouldn't become discouraged or angry, because it will stop us from seeing God's will clearly. Back in 2001, when my wife and I were living in Toronto, we wanted to move closer to the kids' school. We got out a pen and paper and wrote down a list of things we wanted to see in our house that we were going to buy. We looked in a specific neighborhood, and we narrowed it down to one street in particular, and there were only 15 houses on that street. It was a court. One of those houses came up for sale, and we called the listing agent, and we wanted to see it. We went to see it, and we thought, well, it isn't exactly what we're looking for, but it's good enough, and it's the only house that came up. We talked to the agent and said, we would like to put in an offer. But he told us, wait until the morning, because it's too late tonight. We waited till the next morning, and I called the agent and said, we're ready to put in the offer. And the agent told us, oh, I'm sorry, the house sold last night. Now, initially, I was quite upset. I thought to myself, this guy pulled a fast one. We found out afterwards that he sold it to some friends that wanted to move into that neighborhood. But we didn't remain bitter. We didn't remain angry. We put our faith in God. We said, okay, God, we're going to trust in you that things are going to work out. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. 2 days later, we got a call from the same agent who said that he knew a house was going up for sale across the street from the one that we had seen. He said he would like to show it to us and that he knew the owners were elderly and he would be able to get us a better price. I said to him, I don't think so. If that house comes up for sale, I am definitely not going to buy it through you. The house did come up for sale. We called another agent, and we went to see it. And this was exactly the house that we were looking for. All the things that we had written down on that piece of paper were in that second house. It was close to the school. The kids didn't have to cross a major street. It was everything we were looking for. Here is your second fill-in. Bitterness sets us up for failure. Faith in God gives us victory. What if someone sins against us or harms us? That can also be very tough. However, it would be better for us to forgive that person so that we can experience the peace of God that God wants us to have. In Matthew chapter 6, we read, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. God took care of Joseph when he was thrown into the pit and sold as a slave to Egypt, and he forgave his brothers. God took care of Jeremiah the prophet when he was thrown into the well to die, and Jeremiah forgave the people that did that. God took care of Peter when he was thrown into the prison. And Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. It says in the Bible, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. We see prices rising everywhere, and these are trying times. Instead of panicking, we should put our faith in God and feel his peace and joy. He wants us to have peace and joy and not panic and not be afraid. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." These difficulties and troubles that are coming upon us are challenging. Some are inconvenient, and some are downright nerve-wracking. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. If we remember that God wants our faith to grow during these trials and difficulties, they are much easier to handle. In fact, they become joyful. When we look at it from God's perspective and say to ourselves, "This challenge is meant to bring me closer to God," then we realize that the difficulty is meant for our faith to become stronger. The Bible says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." In James chapter 1, we read, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." What I'm saying is this: when you're faced with challenges and difficulties, these difficulties are a chance for your faith to grow. And your faith in God and in Christ is the most valuable thing you have. When you go through difficulties and trials, exercise your faith. Read your Bible and remind yourself, God is with me. God is never going to leave me or forsake me. It's like investing in your faith, and we know that this investment will always grow and increase. When you're in a difficult situation, exercise your faith. Your faith will naturally become purer and stronger. A time of famine is another type of tough time. God has promised to feed us in times of famine. That doesn't mean we won't have to struggle or make difficult choices. In 1990, my wife and I had 3 kids in 3 years. And we were struggling financially. I had a full-time job. I had a part-time job. And we still couldn't pay the bills. Here's your third fill-in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. One day I found myself in the grocery store, standing in front of the oranges. And I thought to myself, oranges or gas for the car? Gas for the car or oranges? I thought to myself, this is crazy. I don't want to sacrifice food for my kids in order to buy gas. I can take the bus to work. We can take the bus to church. And we can take the bus shopping. So I bought the oranges and went home. And I talked to my wife, Sandra, and I said, you know, I'm thinking maybe we should sell the car because things are kind of tough. And she agreed. And so that's what we did. One thing I told my married kids when they asked me for advice, which happens at least once a year, is I say the decision that you guys make together is the best decision you can make. I can give them the advice I have, but at the end of the day, it's what they decide to do together that's the right answer. It doesn't matter if you buy a van or a car or an SUV, or if it's green or blue or yellow or red, What's important is that a husband and a wife are in unity and agree with each other as to what they're going to do. That's always the best answer. My wife and I have been married 35 years, and I can tell you that that is what we do, and that's what we find really works. And the decisions we've made together have always been wonderful. Now, getting back to the oranges and no car, it's a Sunday morning, it's snowing, and my wife and I are going to go to church. Now, we have three kids, we have a stroller, and we lived in on a street where you had to go up this hill to get to the street that had the bus. It was about half a kilometer. So we would get the kids all bundled up, put them in the stroller, and start pushing them up the sidewalk that was filled with snow. And of course, we'd come to an intersection, and the plow had gone by, and there's a big hill of snow in front of the sidewalk. So we got to get the stroller over that mound of snow to make it to the bus stop. We make it to the bus stop. We wait for the bus. The bus comes. Kids get in. We got to get the stroller in. But the stroller was old, and it wouldn't close anymore. So we had a little bit of challenge to get that thing in the bus. What I'm saying is this. Not always will your decisions come without a sacrifice. It's not always easy, the decisions you have to make. Now, maybe God's going to bless you, and you're not going to have to make any sacrifices. But maybe you'll be like my wife and I, and you'll have to make some adjustments to your living. We agreed on what we were going to do, and we did it, and God blessed it. We trusted in the Lord, and He blessed us. God provided. He fed us in times of famine. But that didn't mean that there wasn't a little sacrifice to go along the way. Jesus faced great difficulties. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus knew that dying on the cross would be difficult. He knew that experiencing the wrath of God for the sin of the world was going to be painful. The Bible says He was willing to go through all of this because of the joy that was waiting for Him on the other side. In other words, He saw your face while He was going to the cross. He knew your name when He was going to the cross. What joy was He looking forward to when He went to the cross? He was looking forward to the day that you would put your faith in Him. And now He says, I am in heaven preparing a place for you. I can't wait to see you. This was the joy that Jesus had before He went to the cross. And here's your next fill-in. Because of the joy awaiting Jesus, He endured the cross. Whatever difficulty or challenge you are going through, remember that it's something that's going to increase your faith. And that when you come out the other side, there's going to be great victory. There's going to be a great blessing waiting for you as you exercise your faith in God. But you don't have to wait till the trial's over to have joy. You can be happy now. In Romans chapter 8, we read, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Tough times come in all sorts of ways. For the early Christians, life was very tough. We read in the book of Hebrews. Think back on those early days when you learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. We see that the early Christians went through extremely difficult times. They went through things most of us have never experienced. It says that they accepted those things with joy. They learned the secret of being happy in the Lord. And being happy in the Lord means you have faith in Him. All things are going to work out. You don't know how, but you know they will. We trust in the Lord in times of difficulties. We trust that He's going to take care of us. We bring our problems or issues to Him, and we allow Him to work through us and through the situation. We're also facing difficulties that come from the media, from society, and from the public school system. Even some Catholic schools and private schools are under attack. The forces of evil are trying to teach our kids that immorality is acceptable. Governments are making it legal to be immoral. But we read in the book of Genesis, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." We also read, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Not only did God create the universe and everything in it, He created our ancestors, Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. And we as Christians should raise our children in what the Bible says about creation, that it was God who created the universe. It was God who created a man and a woman. He wants a man to marry a woman and a woman to marry a man. Everything else is considered outside of God's plan, and God's plan is always best for us. This is a very tough issue because we sense that we are losing something of the past and of God's character and word. And we don't like to see the consequences that come along with that. However, we shouldn't sweep the issue under the carpet and avoid it. We need to put it on the table and talk about it. As Christians, and especially for those of us who are parents, we need to stand up for what the Bible says. We need to let our children know what we believe. We shouldn't cave in to the pressures of the world and compromise our faith. The Bible and the Word of God are our anchor. Sometimes, believe it or not, I get overwhelmed. I see all these troubles going around me, and I start to worry about things. I get scared. I think to myself, what's going to happen in the future? How are my kids going to be able to afford a place to live? What about this and what about that? But in those times, I remember God, and I remember what He says in His Word. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. There is a song, and the lyrics kind of go like this: "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing." And here is your next fill-in: "I'm standing on the promises of God." I read once in the Bible, there was a guy, and his name was Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was very sick. So it says in the Bible that he got on his knees, he turned to the wall, and he was crying, and he prayed. And he said, "God, give me another 15 years to live," because he was supposed to die. And God saw him praying, and God saw his tears, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you another 15 years. My mom had a stroke. She was an alcoholic, and we had been praying for her to get saved. And she had a massive stroke. And one day I was in my basement at home, and I thought about Hezekiah. And I got on my knees, and I turned towards the wall, and I started crying, and I started praying. And I said, God, give her another 15 years. You know how many years he gave her? 15. She lived another 15 years. Standing on the promises of God. Believing that what you read is for your life. And trusting in God to make it happen. Getting through tough times depends on our faith in God. We need to believe that God is going to provide for us, that he has our back. We need to believe that he is a God who is with us in times of trouble. We read in Isaiah, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. There was a lady in the Bible, a Gentile woman. She was not Jewish. And she came to Jesus. And she was looking for an answer to prayer. She was going through a very tough time. She came to Jesus, and we read in Matthew chapter 15. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him, send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all this begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshiped him, pleading, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take the food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to you, to her, and I guess he's saying to you too, your faith is great, your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. This woman knew God. She knew that God would not turn her away. She knew that if she kept persisting and asking, he would heal her daughter. My wife was very sick. She had the same sickness our two kids have that are in the home. Spinocerebellar ataxia, type 17. What a mouthful. All it means is your cerebellum is shrinking, the small brain, and you start to lose all your faculties, all your coordination. My wife got miraculously healed. Jesus appeared to her in a vision. She saw a light coming towards her. She knew it was. She saw the outline of a man. And she knew it was Jesus. She felt heat going up and down her body. And then Jesus spoke to her and said, don't worry, I am going to heal you. I asked my wife afterwards, I said, how did you do it? What were you praying in order to see this miracle? And my wife said, I just told God he had to do it. I have to be here for my kids. That's the kind of faith that I believe God wants us to have to get us through the tough times. When the tough times come, get on your knees and pray. Submit to God's power and his authority. Don't think you have it all figured out, that you know this is exactly how it's going to work out and this is exactly what I should do. Trust in the Lord and let him guide you and lead you. Give everything over to him. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. I want to encourage you. I want to activate your faith today. I want you to start thinking, you know what? It's possible. Wait a second. This is possible. I don't think this can happen. This could happen. That could happen. Look at this difficulty. Look at this obstacle. God doesn't care about any of those obstacles that we're looking at, because God can do the impossible. So don't give up. When tough times come, the righteous trust in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't let your faith fail you. In tough times, perseverance is the victory. Keep the faith. I'd like to end with a prayer for all of us. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word truly is an anchor in times of difficulty, when we don't know what to do, when we're lost, when that storm comes. Lord, when we have no idea what to do. And we hear your word. We read something in the Bible. I will feed you in times of famine. All things are possible for God. Only believe. Then, Lord, it's like an anchor, and we are just solid once again, and our feet are on solid ground. So I praise you, Lord, for your word, and I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would bless us today, that you would give us a faith in your word that would never falter. And Lord, for some people here today, that you would just activate their faith and let them know God is real. He hears my prayers. He loves me, and he cares for me. Amen.